Let's go in depth on Hawkeye Sports with the Des Moines Register. It's time for Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO.
Good evening, Hawkeye fans, and welcome to the first ever Hawk Central Radio Hour in which the Iowa football team is ranked number two in the country. We obviously didn't have a show in 1985. My name is Chad Lystico. I'm a sports columnist for the Des Moines Register, and I'll be hosting our weekly chat here for the next 60 minutes on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. We are live once again, so give us a call at 515-284-5966 if you want to join the conversation. And obviously plenty to talk about as I speak. I understand James Franklin had a five-minute prepared statement on injuries regarding the Iowa-Penn State game. So those flames continue to be fanned. On the menu tonight, looking back at a historic night at Kinnick Stadium, looking at the Hawkeyes' place in the college football playoff picture, and looking ahead at Iowa's six-game regular season finish, all against Big Ten West opponents, starting this Saturday against Purdue. Of course, we'll have our five big questions segment, and that'll comprise pretty much our Iowa-Purdue preview. We'll do that in the second part of tonight's show. But we will start with my friend, my colleague on the Hawkeye beat, the wildly popular Kennington Smith, who has yet to cover a loss as a beat writer for the Hawkeyes. Kennington, how you doing?
I'm great. It truly warms my heart to hear you say that I'm that very popular. I've been getting a lot of positive emails, a lot of Twitter DMs of people saying that they're enjoying the content and the work that you and I are doing together. So it's great to know that what I'm doing here is resonating so far. And I feel like, you know, we're going to continue to just get stronger and continue to keep pumping out great stuff. So excited to be here, and I'm excited to have another great conversation.
So you and I are advancing our brand, but did the Iowa football program, that was kind of what we talked about last week. How much did it elevate its brand last week, do you feel, after a 23-20 win and just a real thrilling fashion, at least, you know, for all the Hawkeye fans in the country?
100%. They absolutely advanced the brand. It was, you're seeing now, without the talk of, you know, injuries or not injuries or whatever that outside conversation is, you're seeing Iowa firmly in the center of the college football conversation. Recruits were there. It was a huge recruiting weekend. We're starting to see a little bit of that momentum pick up on the trail right now. I imagine that's going to continue to pick up throughout the fall into the winter signing months. I imagine that Iowa's going to continue to play on national TV as a result of winning that game and continuing to being ranked so high. So they did what they needed to do. And then from here on out, they're just going to have more opportunities to continue to advance that brand. Saturday is another opportunity, primetime ABC slot. So, you know, the rest of the outside world, outside of Hawkeye fans and Big Ten country, is going to continue to see Iowa on their TV screen. They're going to continue to get a sense of what this team is about if they're continuing to keep their winning ways going.
Yeah, it's kind of like we talked about last week for me. It's, you know, is Iowa going to be a season-long story or a nice story? And that win on Saturday certainly puts Iowa on a different trajectory this season. And obviously, as you mentioned, Kennington, it comes on what was termed as the biggest recruiting weekend ever in Iowa football history. They had tons of big prospects there. I don't know what the final number was, but somewhere in the 50 to 80 range. And obviously some big names there. And we've seen a running back commitment already in the last 24 hours. So, like you said, something really exciting for Iowa football fans in particular. And I guess when I think back to this game, we're not going to spend a ton of time necessarily on this game because we've done you know, two podcasts already about the game. But you know, the play, the Petrus to Reganey play, you know, as somebody who grew up watching the Hawkeyes and remembers the early 80s, remembers most of the Fry era, remembers everything of the Ferentz era, I'm just trying to think of there's just not many plays that I can think of in recent memory at Kinnick Stadium in particular that will match what we saw from Spencer Petras to Nico Reganey. Now, I know I'm not asking you to have that, you know, perspective, you know, as somebody new on the beat, but just in terms of that play and just the, you know, the fact that it was in the back pocket all game long and they pulled it out at just the right time to basically win the game. What did that play say to you? Was that kind of a statement in a way?
Absolutely. I think that it was, in a way, a microcosm of who Iowa is as a team this year, and that's opportunistic. I think we talked at length in the last podcast about how that game against Penn State was a tough game for the receivers. They weren't getting open. And that play with Regani, I think he said, was probably the only play all game where they had a receiver wide open. And that was the one opportunity that they had to cash on it. And they cashed on it. And that's what ultimately won the game. So this is kind of who Iowa is. This is a team that's just going to fight until the end. And if you give them an opening to take advantage of it and to kind of deliver that knockout punch we've seen over the past six games this year, that they've done that. So that just kind of symbolized who they are as a team, and it kind of, you know, put that on a national stage that this is a team that you really can't give any openings to, and you really can't, you know, keep that door open or that window of opportunity open for them to come back or for them to kind of see some momentum, because they have proven that they're going to do that.
Yeah, I was brainstorming on my drive into the studio here and trying to think, you know, obviously there have been some big plays in the Kirk Ferentz era. I think about, you know, of course, Tate to Holloway probably, you know, is number one. The Adrian Claiborne block punt at Penn State, it's still, you know, that thud just rings true for me. Obviously, Stanzi to McNutt for a walk-off win at Michigan State. But in terms of at Kinnick Stadium, I was thinking about the 2002 game against Purdue when Banks threw to Clark on fourth down. That obviously was a huge play in that particular season. There's been, you know, a Marshall Kane 57-yard walk-off field goal. There's been several field goals to win games. You think about weird plays like the Tyler Sash pinball interception against Indiana in 09, the lateral interception against Michigan State, a top five win back in 2010. That was a crazy play. But just in terms of what this win, this particular play did for this game and this particular team in the first top five matchup at Kinnick Stadium in 36 years, I think it's probably number one for me at Kinnick. Anyway, so we talked at length about the Penn State game in our subscriber podcasts on Saturday and Tuesday. We also got into the whole fake injury thing. We're not going to dwell on that here tonight. It sounds like James Franklin, is digging into that himself. So I'm sure there'll be some follow-up talk about that over the next 24 hours. But this, you know, tonight's show kind of wants to look forward. And as I look forward, I think about what's next for the Hawkeyes, maybe on a national level. Kennington and I were both kind of poring over, schedules and teams' resumes thus far this season. Now, obviously, Iowa's getting tons of respect here, Kennington, in terms of the voters. They're number two in the coaches, number two in the AP poll. So there's no, I don't think, disrespect from the voters or anything like that. But obviously, there's plenty of talk out there, saying that Iowa's got a boring offense and doesn't belong and, you know, all this and that. But I guess I just wanted to look at all, the teams that are in, the top 11, 12, some of the unbeatens. What resumes maybe stand up to Iowa's? I'll go through some of them that I've got written down. But in terms of quality of wins, margin of wins, however you want to categorize it, whatever your framework is, what else do you see out there?
I see, well, obviously, at the number one spot, you have Georgia. And I think that they pass the test in terms of eye test, both and quality of win. When you look at their schedule, and me personally, I look at quality of wins from the lens of what was the rankings at the time that you played and what was the context of that game you played. So you look at Georgia, they have a top five win like Iowa. They beat number five Clemson. Iowa has number four Penn State. Georgia has another top 10 win. They beat Arkansas as Iowa beat Iowa State. And then Georgia beat number 18 Auburn. Iowa has a top 20 win as well in Indiana. So I think that there are definitely some parallels there.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of that, Georgia has more ranked opponents, obviously, the rest of the way. So I think that they have an opportunity to continue to stack their schedule. I think that you can throw in Cincinnati in there as well. They don't have maybe the depth of quality of wins, but they definitely have margin of victory and eye test as well. I think that Notre Dame game was very telling. They went into South Bend and pretty much controlled the game start to finish, which I think was impressive. And I have to throw Oklahoma in there as well. They got a ranked win over Texas. The rest of the slate is kind of hard to kind of compare because most of these other teams have a loss. Michigan is undefeated, but they don't have the same depth of wins that the other teams that I've named. So I'm really just looking at, you know, Georgia as the only team that I can truly compare that has multiple quality wins like Iowa has.
Yeah, and I look at it a couple different ways. I like how you put it there. If you look at it how you did, when the teams, where the teams were ranked at the time, yeah, Iowa and Georgia both have two top 10 wins. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Iowa has one on the road. Obviously, the Georgia-Clemson game was a neutral site, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that doesn't matter. It was obviously a really tough game. But, you know, I think that those are comparable. And obviously, Iowa beating Penn State at home. I mean, frankly, that's probably the best win in college football outside of Texas A&M against Alabama, perhaps, for this season. But yeah, I think those two resumes stand apart. I mean, nothing really stands out to me as I look through the rest of the teams in the top 10 or 11 or 12. I mean, Oklahoma, you know, has beaten, you know, they don't have a win over an FBS team by more than 7 points, for example. You know, Alabama, you know, beat Florida by two, but, you know, lost A&M, but the rest of their wins are pretty blah. Ohio State really hasn't beaten anybody. I mean, they're getting quite a bit of respect, I think, for the margin of victory in some of their recent wins, but, you know, they lose to Oregon, but they've, you know, the rest of their wins are Minnesota, Tulsa, Akron, Rutgers, and Maryland. So not exactly murderer's row there. The one I might point out actually is, you know, Kentucky's, the way they've won the last couple of weeks. Now it'll be interesting to see how they do against Georgia this week. The spread is incredible, 23.5, I think. 6-0 Kentucky versus 6-0 Georgia. But yeah, basically, bottom line, I don't really see much out there. If anyone else does, feel free to give us a call. But I think Iowa's resume stacks up pretty well. On that note, Eric, should we go to Justin at Urbandale first, since he is more on topic here, and then we'll hit Anthony. Justin, how you doing?
Hey, doing good, guys. Okay, so it sounded okay. You guys said resumes, so I thought you were going to start talking about the Big Ten West. Sounds like you were talking about everybody else who's in that top 10 around Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how they stack up. So that's, you know, that was a good conversation. I listened to that. You guys are, I think, spot on all that. Let me just take this opportunity to say that with Iowa playing the rest of their games against the Big Ten West, right, because there's been a lot of pontificating, a lot of polls being thrown out on Twitter, who could Iowa lose to? Let me say this. They could lose to every single one of these teams. Not that they're gonna.
I agree.
You know, Purdue, Northwestern, Minnesota, you're playing for Floyd. You're playing for the Heartland Trophy in Wisconsin. You're going to Nebraska. You know, I mean, there are so many games ahead for the Iowa Hawkeyes. We're only halfway through the season. And I feel like, honestly, the toughest part of Iowa's schedule is ahead for them. That's as a fan that's been watching the Hawkeyes for as long as I've been watching the Hawkeyes for. So I think as fans, we just need to take this, just like the team, one game at a time, man, and just, I mean, not even look forward. Like, as much as I'd like to think about Iowa winning 7 in a row against Nebraska, I am scared to death of Purdue and David Collins. So
we'll definitely get to that, Justin.
You guys keep doing what you're doing, man. You're putting out great content. I'm loving the subscriber podcast. Those are great. And Pennington, man, you fit like a glove, my man. So keep on doing what you're doing, guys. Go Hawks.
Thanks, Justin. Very, very much. Very kind words. Yeah. And what's interesting, Justin, about kind of how national pundits are talking about Iowa's schedule and they're basically talking about Iowa as, oh, they got, you know, the rest of their schedule is so easy. But we know here in Iowa that it's, like Justin said, it's just picking up steam. It's not going to be easy at all. Kennington, any thoughts on what Justin said there?
You said that because I initially was one of those people who look at the schedule and you see teams who are 3-2 or 2-3 or have multiple Big Ten losses and you assume that Iowa was going to steamroll them, but I had to kind of look back and look at kind of recent history. Purdue's a team that has given Iowa trouble in the past, as Wisconsin has, who they have after that. Northwestern has been in the Big Ten Championship the last few years as well, and they've given Iowa trouble. Nebraska and Minnesota are teams that Iowa dominated, but you have to imagine that they're going to be highly motivated to win those games. And, of course, with the target on Iowa's back, each one of these teams on the schedule is going to want to be the one that puts the feather in the cap that says that they have derailed this dream season or kind of ruined this nice story or nice season that you alluded to before. So every single one of these teams is dangerous. I 100% agree with that. And even though they're going to be getting a lot of respect maybe in terms of the spread, like I believe the Purdue spread is a double-digit spread at this moment, I wouldn't just assume that Iowa is going to just dominate all six of these games. They very well could if they continue to progress throughout the season, but it's by no means a given.
Yeah, and I'm just looking ahead to even I'm looking ahead to the Wisconsin game in a few weeks. Iowa is first in the Big Ten with a plus 15 turnover margin, which is insane. And then Wisconsin is last with minus 10. And that just is I mean, that's the reason Wisconsin has not had that much success. Now, will that keep up? We'll see. But if you look at Wisconsin's defense, it's still very, very salty. I agree, Wisconsin's not what it was yet, but they are starting to get back to their running ways. That matchup is scary, even though the rest of the nation may not think so. So, anyway, you are listening to Hawk Central from the Des Moines Register and KXNO. I am Chad Lystico talking Iowa football with Kennington Smith. And as we kind of lunge into the Big Ten West conversation, we want to talk to Anthony, who's been on hold for a little bit. Anthony, how's it going, man? Did you get to watch and enjoy that win on Saturday night?
Hey, Chad. How are you guys doing this evening?
Oh, doing great.
Yes, I did. I hope so.
I would hope so.
Yes, I did. Got to watch the Iowa-Penn State game. But just like what the last caller was said, I would probably say, yes, Purdue kind of, like, scares everybody. Especially the reason why I brought this up. Remember now, Purdue has beaten Iowa 3 out of the last 5 games under Kirk and Brian Ferentz era.
Yeah, 3 out of 4.
My question is for you guys, would Purdue pull an upset at Iowa at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday afternoon? The answer is, I will probably say yes, just because they're favored by double-digit points. But this Purdue team, it really scares me. And the other question is I have for you, how's Riley Moss's injury? Could you give an update on him? And I'll hang up, listen, and go Hawks. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, Anthony. We really appreciate you calling every week. We will definitely get to our Iowa-Purdue predictions later in this show and an in-depth preview on the game itself here as we go, Anthony. So we will let you know if there's going to be an upset or not. Actually, Kennington will let you know if there's going to be an upset at the end of the show. Kennington, we did learn about Riley Moss's injury a little bit more yesterday. Why don't you give our listeners that don't know kind of the update and how he is coming along?
Right. So Riley Moss got injured on his interception in the second quarter. It doesn't require surgery, but he is going to miss a few weeks, according to what Ferentz told us on Tuesday. They said that they are, you know, looking to get him back in a few weeks. Is that going to be after the bye week? We don't know. Is that going to be, you know, sometime in November? We don't know. But we do know that he will be back at some point. And they avoided a very serious injury, which is good news. What that means for this matchup on Saturday, obviously, we're going to get into that and what, you know, receivers like David Bell bring to the table. But it's Terry Roberts' time, somebody who has been a special teams darling and somebody who's gotten a lot of praise and a lot of credit from the coaches and somebody who they consider as a starter but just hasn't been able to play because they have two very good corners ahead of him. He's finally getting his opportunity and going to be making his first career start on Saturday.
Good stuff, man. Coming up next, it is time to dive into 5 big questions. I'll dive into my Twitter and see what James Franklin had to say. Maybe we'll give you a little update there. But we will definitely get into the Iowa-Purdue key storylines next, right here on 1460 KXNO and now on 106.3 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central Radio here on 1460 KXNO. And 106.3 FM. I was just watching James Franklin's video there as we came back from break. Basically said he does not coach guys to fall down for injuries and talked for 5 minutes about it. So listed the guys that got injured and did not return. So you guys can check that out if you want on the Twitter. We're not going to talk about that tonight anymore, but I'm sure it'll continue to be a story. So, with me, as always, Kennington Smith. The interest in this podcast continues to grow, so thank you very much for all the positive feedback and for spreading our good work out to others. Like I said before, fire up this episode and our subscriber episodes at your tailgate on Saturday, and maybe you'll impress your friends, maybe you won't, but we would appreciate it. All right, Iowa-Purdue, Saturday, 2:30 p.m., ABC. Dave Pasch and Dusty Dvorak are on the call. Iowa is favored by 11 against a Purdue team that looks pretty solid on both sides of the ball. And as Anthony mentioned, has always given the Hawkeyes fits. So with that, Kennington, let's dive into our five big questions. And number one tonight on the list, can the Hawkeyes respond emotionally after such a euphoric win? Obviously, a historic win for the Hawkeyes. First top five matchup in 36 years. They win it in dramatic fashion. Even Nico Reganey said after the game he was completely drained. I imagine a lot of Hawkeye players are feeling that way. They got to get back up and beat a really good team. What do you think? Do the Hawkeyes respond emotionally, and how difficult will that be?
I think it will be difficult, but I think they're in a position to where they really don't have a choice but to. Spencer Petras spoke to this during availability on Tuesday. He said that In a schedule like this where you play on Saturday and you got 24 hours to enjoy a win or bounce back for a loss and you're back at it on Monday, you really don't have time to be drained because it's time to go and look ahead to the next week. So it will be a challenge. Obviously, this game against Penn State tested the team in more ways than just physically, emotionally, mentally. It was a tough game and a draining game. So maybe the recovery aspect was a little bit more of an emphasis this week. But I do think that they are capable of recovering, but it will be a greater challenge than probably what they have faced in the previous five games.
Yeah, I mean, I think back to all the big wins in my memory anyway in Iowa history. Some of the biggies, certainly against Penn State in 2009, the one I mentioned earlier with the Claiborne block punt. That was a win against a top five Penn State team. The next week, Iowa came home and had to fight for their lives to beat Arkansas State, a team that went 4-8 that season. So, and then I think back to 2017 when Iowa beat Ohio State 55-24. That was a top five win, the most recent top five win. And then the next week, what happened? Iowa was embarrassed up in Madison. They got beat 38-14, scoring only on defense. Only 66 yards of offense. So it is hard to get back up after such a big win. We will see how the Hawkeyes respond. Let's just say I'm very interested to see how they do it. I do think what you said, Kennington, I think it needs to be a more mental week than a physical week. I think mental reps will help Iowa be prepared more than anything for this matchup. Good answer. Number two on our five big questions. This might be the one we spend the longest amount of time on, to be honest. Iowa has done a great job this season, Kennington. I think we would both say against opposing star receivers. I think of Indiana's Ty Freifogel, Iowa State tight end Charlie Kolar, Colorado State tight end Trey McBride, Dante Demas Jr. obviously of Maryland. Had the injury, but Iowa, survived that one. And then Penn State's Jahan Dotson, 8 catches, 48 yards on 17 targets. So I would say for the most part, Iowa's done a good job on its primary guys it wanted to stop. But can it do the same with David Bell of Purdue, who has absolutely torched the Hawkeyes for the last 2 years?
I think that's probably, with all due respect to the previous names that you mentioned, who are all great players, this is probably the greatest challenge just because of the past history that David Bell has had against Iowa. And this is against the same secondary that we've seen for the last few years. It's not like there's turnover or maybe it was different guys You know, previous years, David has seen the secondary a few times now, and it's had great success a few times in a row. I think that, especially with Riley Moss out, this is going to be a critical matchup, and it might be what ends up defining the game when you consider how Purdue attacks down the field, and they're just going to consistently test Iowa's secondary. It may not result in a catch, but it might result in a holding. It might result in a pass interference. So it's just going to be a consistent attack on the back unit. I think that it's possible. I feel like Matt Hankins is playing as well as any defensive back in the country, and this is, you know, evidence of Pro Football Focus saying that he's the second-rated cornerback in the country, Riley Moss being the first. So it might end up being a situation where Matt Hankins might just have to just kind of follow David Bell around the field. If not, then Terry Roberts is going to have to be called on to step up, and what a start that would be, your first career star you're having to line up against. David Bell, one of the best receivers in the conference. But you have to imagine that what he's done is at the forefront of Phil Parker's mind. It's been a major talking point amongst the secondary this week. So it'll be interesting. And Kirk Ferentz spoke to this on Tuesday. It's not like David Bell is the only receiver. You know, you can't put two guys on him because somebody else is going to have a field day as well. So there's going to be a lot of individual responsibility on these cornerbacks. And, you know, it's almost going back to the last question. They almost have to contain him if they're going to win some success on Saturday.
Yeah, like you mentioned, they've got other guys. Milton Wright is a very good receiver. Jackson Anthrop, more of a possession receiver. And then they get back their tight end, Payne Durham. He was out last week against or 2 weeks ago, I guess, against Minnesota. They got a bye week while Iowa was getting slugged by Penn State and slugging Penn State. So, you know, definitely a little bit more or less wear and tear on the Boilers. What I could see on Saturday, and I don't know what to expect, but Jack Kroener opened my ears a little bit when he said we've got a little bit different of a plan this year for Purdue than we did last year. That's what Jack Kroener, 50-year senior safety, said. Who knows what that is, but I think Iowa will have a good plan. Let's just put it that way. I would not be surprised if it is something like a Matt Hankins shadowing Bell a little bit more. Just because they did do that a little bit back with Josh Jackson when Purdue was zeroing in on the Hawkeyes in 17, going away from Jackson. They finally put Josh on their top receiver for that day and shut him down. But the thing is, Matt Hankins can play. He can play the cash as well. So if Bell's in the slot, he could play that slot position. But at the same time, I don't know if you want to mess with what's working for the Iowa defense right now either. So just very curious to see how they defend him and how successful they are in defending David Bell, who has 13 catches for 197 and 13 for 121 in the two games against Iowa for four touchdowns. Just unbelievable. The guy really is something else. All right, number three. This one's a quickie, but could be an in-depth answer. Is Purdue's defense for real? What do you think?
I think that, well, statistically, they're up there in the Big Ten, but I think that there's opportunity for Iowa to advance the ball and to be able to put some points on the board if they don't turn the ball over and if they don't play sloppily, which we've seen in very brief moments. They've only been a handful of turnovers, and for the most part, when they are executing on the little things and executing at the level that they're supposed to, we've seen this offense be able to kind of drive the ball down the field and put some points on the board when given that opportunity to do so. So they're last in the Big Ten, and that's what I think plays huge advantage for Iowa's offensive line. I think that's a matchup that they can kind of exploit, but I feel like this is going to be kind of a game to get Tyler Goodson in the running game going. That's been a major talking point amongst media members and fans throughout the season, that Iowa's running game hasn't performed at the level that maybe we expected it to. I feel like this is the type of game to kind of use that offensive line as an advantage and get the downhill running game going and allow that to kind of open up some opportunities in the pass game.
So how would you view Notre Dame? Because I'm looking at Purdue's schedule here, and they do have good defensive numbers. There's no doubt about it. They're third in the Big Ten in defense. Iowa's second. Wisconsin's first. But their schedule so far, Oregon State, that's a good win. I mean, any win against the Power Conference is a good win. At UConn, probably the worst team in college football. At Notre Dame, they lost 27-13. Illinois, they win 13-9. Minnesota, they lose 20-13. So they've, you know, they just have not faced great offenses, unless you want to count Notre Dame, which I don't think they have a great offense, right?
Right, and I think another thing with Notre Dame is, you know, they're kind of in this limbo right now where they're kind of balancing a few different quarterbacks. They really are still trying to figure out what they're doing offensively as well. So, you know, they're, you could say that, you know, they haven't had the opponents to really gauge how good of an offense is. I think that, I don't know if we're talking about driving teams down the field or having long drives or super huge explosive plays, Iowa is a great barometer either. But I think that there's opportunity for Iowa to exploit it, and I think we're going to know a lot more about both of these units coming out of this game.
Yeah, my answer would be I want to see if Purdue's defense is real. They've got a great player in George Karlaftis. He is legit, defensive end, five-star guy. He's an NFL guy after this year for sure. I know one of the talking points over in West Lafayette is that he has not drawn a holding call this year from officials, even though from their vantage point, he has been held a lot. I think somebody like that reminds me of what Iowa fans kind of watch with A.J. Epinesa, how he was just so dominant on the edge and almost got held constantly, but you can't call it every time. So that'll be interesting to see how Iowa's tackles hold up against him. But like you said, they're last in the Big Ten in sacks, last in the Big Ten in takeaways. They have two takeaways, two this season, Purdue does. And Iowa does not turn the ball over that much. So something to watch there for sure. But their front seven on defense is very good. From what I understand, the weakness of their defense is probably their safeties. So maybe that's an opportunity for Iowa to hit a couple home runs or try to hit that deep ball, with a little more space in the defensive backfield than they had against Penn State. You are listening to Hawk Central from the Des Moines Register and KXNO. I am Chad Lystico with Kennington Smith, and we are previewing Iowa-Purdue with five big questions. We've got a few minutes left in this segment. If you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 515-284-5966. Number four on our big questions, what is your biggest concern about the Hawkeyes that you would like to see answered on Saturday, Kennington?
I think I'm going to have to go back to the offense and seeing if they're going to be able to sustain longer drives and to be able to score when they're not put on a short field. Obviously, that's been a huge luxury this season. And without Riley Moss, who has been picking balls off left and right along with the rest of the secondary, you have to imagine that there's going to be some level of drop-off, with no disrespect to Terry Roberts. And the success that Purdue's passing game has had against Iowa in years past, for them to have a, you know, three interception game against Purdue would almost be a 180 compared to what it has been in years past. So maybe there's a middle ground there of maybe they force a turnover or two, and not so much having, you know, these several turnover forcing games that places the offense on short field. So I would like to see the offense kind of generate some momentum on their own, score from multiple points on the field. I think that's probably the last question mark on Iowa's team. And I think that when we're talking about the national perception and the way that national pundits and the powers that be, that's probably the last question they have about Iowa is, are they able to generate offense, or will they be able to put points on the board if there's a game where the defense isn't forcing turnovers all over the field? It hasn't happened yet. You have to think at some point it's going to happen, though. Maybe Saturday's game is going to be that game. So that's kind of what I'm looking for out of the Hawkeyes on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa kind of had a game like that against Colorado State. It did get that one turnover on a short field, but really, it was kind of a, you know, they had to kind of grind out some stuff that day, and a little bit of the same thing with Kent State, to be honest. But my answer to the question, Kennington, would be the O line. If you look at some metrics, the first down rushing numbers for the Hawkeyes have not been good this year, and I don't think that's a big news flash to anybody out there. Yeah, a lot of no gains, negative yardage, just because Tyler Goodson doesn't have room to run on some of these first down calls. Now he's busted a few long ones too, but the overall average is not been good, and that's really hurt Iowa's drive. So I thought the O-line play was pretty shaky against Penn State. I asked Kirk Ferentz about that the other day. He thought he's seeing signs of progress. So I don't know if that's just trying to spin it in a positive way. I asked the same to Kyler Schott on Tuesday. He kind of felt the same way. They feel like they're seeing good things. So I guess we'll see. We'll see. That's another. That's something I would like to see revealed as Iowa heads into this bye week. And maybe do they kind of establish what they've got at guard? I don't know if they. I don't know if they'll settle on a best five or not. But it's kind of hard to pick a best five right now. Connor Colby went out with an injury. So apparently he's going to come back this week. Justin Britt played most of the game. Very good run blocking. Not as much pass blocking. And then I thought Kyler Schott, to me, did not have a great game. But I thought Cody Ince was a little bit better in that game on Saturday. So, but I'm not an O-line coach either. So, you know, that's just the way I saw it. Just would like to see the O-line play a little bit better. Maybe get a little bit more yardage on first down to help the offense out. All right, number five. Let's flip the question here, Kennington, on our five big questions and go with what is Iowa's biggest advantage on Saturday? What is the biggest reason for optimism for the Hawkeyes?
I think that I'm going to have to go with the Kinnick crowd to see how they responded to the maybe a challenge, or just to see how they came out and reacted to the hype around the Penn State game, and that it was going to be a huge game for the program and that the fans would really be counting on in order to make a difference in the game. To see the difference that they didn't make in the game, to have a consecutive sellout, and then to continue that this week, we learned that the Minnesota game is going to be a sellout as well. I just feel like this is a fan base that is super energized, and they're just going to continue to carry this energy into each home game. And this is something that can become a huge advantage for Iowa playing at home. Obviously, playing at home, it has always been an advantage. Kinnick has always been a tough place to play, but it seems like they've kind of flipped a switch in that Penn State game, and it caused an impact that maybe we haven't seen in years past. So to see them kind of build off of that against this Purdue game and maybe, you know, force their offensive line to make some mistakes, force their quarterback to make some mistakes that they're not used to making, I think could play out again this Saturday.
So special teams is almost always an Iowa advantage. Purdue does have a good place kicker this week, so that'll be kind of a wash, I think, or their kicker's really good. Iowa does have the punting advantage. So I'm not going to say special teams this week. I'm going to say I'm going to go back to last year's game, the 24-20 loss to open the season. It's kind of an interesting – I like the dichotomy here because that was Spencer Petras' first game as a Hawkeye, and now we get to see how the team performs, you know, 14, 15 games later, you know, with an older Spencer Petras, Jack Campbell and Seth Benson at linebacker. They did not play in that game last year. Big difference there. But there were two reasons Iowa lost that game last year, and really two alone, other than injuries and Petras being new. Number one was turnovers. Iowa fumbled the ball in Purdue territory twice. Can't have that. And I think Iowa has that turnover differential advantage going into this game. But number two, more importantly, Iowa actually let Purdue run the ball last year, which is crazy. That's what beat them in the second half. Purdue's run game is not good. Iowa's run defense is good. I think that's where Iowa has the biggest advantage. And I do think there's a good chance if Purdue can't run the ball that there are going to be opportunities for interceptions on Saturday. And why not add to that season growing total of 16? The school record is 23. All right, man, coming up next, does Iowa have a legit Heisman Trophy candidate in Tyler Linderbaum? Plus our Iowa-Purdue predictions. You're listening to Hawk Central on 1460 KXNO and now on 106.3 FM.
Everything you need to know about the Hawkeyes. It's Hawk Central with the Des Moines Register on 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Hawk Central. I am Chad Lystico along with Kennington Smith of the Des Moines Register. If you missed any of tonight's show, make sure to catch the podcast at hawkcentral.com, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. Iowa did pick up a running back commitment last night, a second one in the class of 2022. Make sure you're following our new colleague, Alyssa Hurdle. She is our new recruiting reporter, And download that Hawk Central app, and you can read all her content. And thank you for subscribing. All right, a couple things, Kennington, as we wrap up tonight's show. Friday, 2 p.m., Iowa versus Michigan field hockey, 1-2. So get on out to Grant Field, support the Hawkeyes. They're having an unbelievable season. Kennington, we spent a lot of time on our subscriber podcast talking about Iowa Basketball Media Day, which was Monday. We don't have much time to talk about it tonight, but give me a couple paragraphs of content here about what you took away from Iowa Hoops Media Day.
The big thing that I took away is that there is a lot of opportunity for pretty much every player on the roster, and every single day there is some sort of competitive element to see who is going to fill out the starting lineup and who exactly is going to be in the rotation. Coach McCaffrey has spoken extensively about how much depth he has on the team and how many players that he has and the type of lineup variations that they can play with. I think that as we're starting to get closer and closer to the season, the challenge for his coaching staff is going to be narrowing down, you know, who they trust to go out there and actually execute in these lineups. I think the first few games of the season we'll see a lot of experimentation, a lot of different guys and a lot of different roles, and that's going to be interesting to see. So there's a lot of intrigue with this team. The star power in terms of name isn't there, obviously, with players like Garza and Wieskamp moving on and other solid contributors at other colleges this year, but there is reason to have some interest in this Hawkeyes team because we just truly don't know who is going to emerge and who is going to be playing a major role this season.
Yeah, I said this in our podcast yesterday, but for our listeners here in Des Moines, I'll just say I'm pretty confident in Keegan Murray that he's going to be kind of the star of this team. He just looks the part. He has it together emotionally as well. Really excited to see what he can do, and if he does become a first round NBA draft pick, it would be really cool. All right, Big Ten football schedule this week. Not a lot of great games, I would say. Ohio State off, Penn State off. James Franklin is not off, but Michigan is off as well. So what game, I don't know, what are you watching this week in the Big Ten besides Iowa and Purdue?
I'm fascinated by Nebraska and Minnesota. Nebraska, over the last few weeks, bless their hearts, they have played so hard, and they have just had two really, really tough losses. And they're going up against a Minnesota team who is gaining a little momentum. They lost to Bowling Green, of course. They beat Purdue after that on October 2nd, and they're coming off a bye week, and this is going to be a big game for both of these teams as they're trying to carve out their own place in the Big Ten West. So they're kind of in different places right now in terms of, you know, where they're feeling. Minnesota is obviously well-rested. Nebraska, to their own right, is going to have to kind of bounce back emotionally and mentally after a few tough losses. So it'll be interesting to see how that game plays out on Saturday.
Yeah, if Nebraska wins and Iowa wins on Saturday, the Hawkeyes will have a 2.5-game lead in the West Division already. If those two things happen, because Minnesota and Purdue are the only one-loss teams in Big Ten play in the West, and obviously that would put Iowa at 4-0. So really, a big game for the Hawkeyes against Purdue on Saturday in the standings as well, not just for everything else we're talking about. We don't have much time left, but I did want to touch on, I wrote about Tyler Linderbaum starting to get some momentum, a little bit of national momentum for some Heisman Trophy votes. It's been kind of fun to see Spencer Petras weigh in on that topic and others within the Iowa program with the hashtag Lindy for Heisman. And there's some genuine steam out there. Just because there's not really, I don't think, I mean, I can't identify a real leading Heisman candidate out there, and Iowa is the number two team in the country, and its best player is the center. He's widely considered the best offensive lineman in the country. So it's kind of fun to see that momentum pick up. And here's what I'll say on this, and then we'll move on. If Iowa really wants to embolden Linderbaum's Heisman campaign, just run a bunch of quarterback sneaks. Like, run 15 of them this week for like 50 yards And all of a sudden, Tyler Linderbaum will be in the full throat of the conversation. All right, Eric Zamora, are you up for predictions this week?
Yes, sir.
All right. Just wanted to make sure you're on board. Let's get into it, Kennington. Hawks favored by 11. We will go to Kennington Smith for the accurate prediction first. Then we'll go to Eric and me for the, we'll see what happens predictions. What do you think happens on Saturday?
I am picking Iowa to win. I'm actually picking them to cover as well. In spite of everything I just said throughout this entire hour about how Purdue dangerous they are and the matches that they present, I just feel like Iowa's rolling. I feel like this is a thorn in their side. And this did a major talking point amongst the team. So I will take Iowa 27-13.
That is true that it is, I think, good for this Hawkeye team to have that Purdue has its full attention. This is not a team that Iowa is going to overlook, given that history. That's a good point there. Eric, we like to hear your predictions as well. What do you got, Eric?
So last week, Kennington and I had the exact same score. This time, we're similar again, but I don't think that they cover. I think that Purdue has just been a thorn in the side of Iowa, and I think it's tough for them coming off an emotional win. However, I still think they win comfortably, and the most important thing is getting the W. I think they win 23-13 over their opponent.
A narrow cover for Purdue in that case.
Yes.
Yes. So, Anthony, you called earlier asking would it be an upset. Yeah, I think it would be definitely would be an upset. I saw Chris Williams tweet that Purdue has not beaten a top 10 opponent on the road in 48 years. So, yes, I'll say that qualifies as an upset. Here's my prediction. I go back to 2008. Iowa beat Penn State in thrilling fashion at Kinnick Stadium. Everybody remembers it. 2008, Iowa wins 24-23. Very next week, they host Purdue at Kinnick Stadium. All the emotions of that win crash down. Iowa plays a pretty awful game, misses a couple extra points, but they hang on for dear life and beat Purdue 22-17 in that one. I'm going with the same score, 22-17. Not sure if it's going to be 5 Caleb Shudak field goals and a touchdown, or maybe 3 Caleb Shudak field goals and 2 touchdowns and a missed 2-point conversion. But 22-17 for that very reason. It might not be pretty, but Iowa gets the bye week 7-0. And probably number 2 or number 3 in college football, unless Kennington, Georgia loses to Kentucky. But is that happening?
It will absolutely not happen.
Okay.
24 is a very, very, very generous number, even for the Dogs. So they will win. They will win comfortably, but I would probably take Kentucky in the point.
Okay. So Georgia 1 and Iowa 2 after this week is our prediction. So I will not be here next week for the bye week, so you'll join Kennington and someone else in studio. Thank you so much for listening. Rest up your vocal cords. Enjoy the game on Saturday. Come back Wednesday here on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.